Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 6. It says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the promises that you have in this word. Lord, we do thank you so much that one day each and every one of us is born again. We'll see you face to face. For that day we long, Lord, for that day we look forward to. We ask, Lord, that in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation that you would come quickly for your own, Lord Jesus. And I pray that until you come, that you'd help each and every one of us to be faithful to what you've called us to do. Lord, this morning in this preaching, I pray, Lord, that you would just bless your word as it goes out. Be with my mind, with my mouth. Help me to do those things that you've told me to do. I pray that you'd help me to make the message clear. Lord, in all things, we want you to get the honor and the glory today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
This is in the midst of the Beatitudes, and it's one of the Beatitudes that the Lord gives and while he's on the Sermon on the Mount. And this phrase has been on my mind for a while. In some of the open meetings, there were a couple of things that were mentioned about it. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, it's my opinion, if you find a place in the Bible where the Lord says that somebody's a blessed man, that you ought to take heed to it and that you ought to walk after it. It's like Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You know, if that's a blessed man, that's the kind of man I want to be. And so the only way you can find out how to really be blessed in life is, of course, by reading this book right here. It's going to tell you the path of blessing. It's going to tell you how to be a blessed man. He's talking about hunger and thirst here. And I guess that's one of our, one of the strongest desires that a human being can have is hunger and thirst. I mean, there's just hardly anything that beat it and hardly anything to get your attention as fast as hunger and thirst. I've never really been thirsty or at the point of death. I thought I'd been hungry and at the point of death a time or two. You know, I remember one time we went through a school in the military and we were supposed to find our own food, so to speak, you know. And as a result, I wasn't too good at finding roots and berries and all that kind of stuff. And I was really hungry, you know. Never at the point of death, though. Never at the point where I could, you know, look at some of these pictures in some of these African nations and see these people really at the point of starvation, you know. And not even physically, but you think in terms of spiritually, how this world is spiritually starving. Even here in America. I mean, it's heartbreaking to sit and watch. You know, Jeremiah, he looked at his own nation and his own generation one day. And he got so disgusted, he said, "You know what? I'm not going to speak anymore in the name of the Lord." He was tired of people getting after him. He was tired of the persecution. He was tired of nobody repenting at the preaching. He was tired of his own nation walking off into wickedness. But you know, as he began to look around, he heard the name of the Lord being defamed. And he couldn't hardly shut up, you know. It's hard to sit by when somebody takes the name of the Lord in vain and not say anything. It is really difficult. You may be able to, but I can't even sit in a movie when they're doing it. It just offends me. It makes me mad. For someone who preaches the gospel, how can they not speak when something like that happens? When he saw the injustice and when he saw the indignity, after a while he realized that the word of God was in his heart like a fire and he couldn't stay. He had to preach. You know, that's the way I feel about this generation. Sometimes it disgusts me so much. Sometimes my own wickedness disgusts me so much. I say, you know, why even go on anymore? But you know, the Word of God is in my heart like a fire. The Word of God is in your heart. It ought to be burning like a fire. He said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." What I want to talk about today, so I want to talk a little bit about a spiritual appetite. Because it seems like each and every one of us hits at least once or twice in our life. And I find it a lot even among veteran Christians, where you lose your appetite. Now, if you go to the doctor, the first thing he's going to ask you if you've been sick is, "How's your appetite? How are you eating?" I remember when we took Elizabeth to the doctor, and the doctor saw how small she was. And I mean, she looked fine to us, and there was nothing wrong with her, but the doctor kind of has some suspicions, so the first thing he asked, well, how does she eat? You know, what's her appetite like? And of course, we told him, man, she eats like a cow. You know, she eats everything in sight. She's real good. There's no problem with her appetite. But you know, when your appetite leaves, there's probably something wrong in your body somewhere. You get to where you don't want your dinner, and maybe you got the flu coming on or something like that. It's a warning sign. When you lose your appetite, it's a physical warning sign that something's not right in the body. And you can't follow that, because if you follow your appetite, when you've lost your appetite, you don't eat anything. Of course, you know what's going to happen. You're going to get weaker, and you're going to get weaker, and you're going to die. There may be a time in a Christian's life when he loses his appetite for spiritual things. Maybe the Word of God doesn't become interesting, and there's no appetite for the Word of God. There's no appetite for preaching. There's no real hunger or thirst after living a righteous life, after godliness. You know, those are stages that a Christian does go through, but that's all it should be, is a stage. It should be a place where you're at. It's sad to say that some Christians, and maybe some people in this room, you've lived like that for a long time. It's been a long time since you've had any real hunger and thirst after righteousness, after godliness. I'm telling you, it's a warning sign when that takes place. It's not natural. It's not normal for a Christian not to desire the things of God. It's abnormal. There's something wrong in the body. There's some sin. I guess we can see this attitude. You look over at Isaiah 55 for a minute. Because although this message is going to be to Christians, I want to show you how far this can go. Isaiah chapter 55, we've got a tremendous message here, a tremendous message of invitation. I've preached it many times in the churches, on the streets. It's a tremendous invitation. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth," chapter 55, verse 1, "come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price." And you talk about a tremendous invitation. God is giving every sinner on the face of this earth an invitation to something wonderful. Did you know that Jesus Christ is called the water of life? And the physical life that you have is not true eternal life, because one day that body is going to die. Eternal life comes from Jesus Christ and from Him alone. And you know what He says? He says, "Ho, him that is thirsty, let him come to the waters." You know, I believe salvation is limited. Somebody asked me one time, they were accusing us of all Calvinism, all this junk, and they said, "Do you believe salvation is limited?" I said, "I sure do." He says, "Whosoever will may come." I think it's limited to those who want to be saved. It says here, it says, everyone that thirsteth. I believe that someone's got to be thirsty before they're going to go to God. Hey, there's no doubt. I preach all the time, and we knock on doors all the time, and I try to talk to people about the Lord, and there is just absolutely no interest. And do you know why? Because there's no hunger, there's no thirst after God. It's just the way that it is. Sometimes you get periods of revival, for it seems like people start hungering and thirsting, and they start desiring the things of God. And boy, I wouldn't mind if something like that happened right smack dab here in the middle of San Antonio right now. Wouldn't bother me at all. But one thing I can't do, I can't make somebody hungry. I can try. And that's what a preacher's job is to do sometimes. He gets in there and he tries to open this up and say, "Look at how good it is. Look at how great it is. Look at how beautiful it is. Don't you want some of this?" You're trying to excite their desires. You're trying to whet their appetite. You're trying to get them something that there's something more than just in this life. But you see, a man can't come to Christ unless he's seeking after God, unless he wants it. God can give it to him all day long and say, "Don't you want to be saved?" And get invitation after invitation after invitation. But until there's that desire within. I remember, and I thank God for every stumbling Christian that came by me. I remember a guy, his IQ was maybe 70. He was in the army with me, and maybe it was 70. He was very good at the job that he did. He had a very simple job. He was very faithful at it. But he was not what you would call an intellectual giant. And he just talked real slow, you know, like that. And just was not... But you know what this guy was? This guy was a Christian. Now, I look down at him and I think, you know, what a... You know, and I thought, he's never going to get promoted to command sergeant major. But you know, God looked down on him. And he saved his soul. That made him pretty smart. That made him pretty intelligent to realize where he was going when he died. And that made me a fool. But you know, I thank God for him, because he tried to give me the gospel. I remember sitting in a mess hall one day, and he was talking to me about the Lord, and he was looking at me like I was some kind of an idiot because I wouldn't get saved. But I didn't want it. I wasn't hungry. Because, see, I had plans. I had a party to go to that night. You know, you can't get saved and then go to that party that night. You know, I had plans. I had things to do. I had all kinds of dreams about my life. I wasn't hungry. But you know, over the course of time, people began giving me the gospel over and over again. And yeah, there were feelings deep down inside that I wouldn't admit. I wouldn't admit that I was afraid to die, but I was deathly afraid to die. And over the course of time, the Lord brought me to the place where I started getting very hungry over something. I was getting so disgusted over the hypocrisy. In the religion that I grew up in, I was so disgusted that it wasn't real to anybody. It seemed like it was just a game to all of them. And I was really wanting something real. I thank God so much that a man named Kevin Davis didn't leave me alone. Him and Joe Benedetti came after me, and I thank God for it. Because I heard the gospel, and I was hungry, and I listened. And yeah, I would go to the Friday night Bible study and then go out to the clubs after that at night. But there came a point in time where finally I realized I'm getting the clubs out and I'm getting Jesus in. And I asked God to save me. I was thirsty. And man, when I got saved, it wasn't one of these false professions of faith. You know, I got saved. I wanted to read this book right here. Man, I wanted to go to church. Kevin never invited me to church. I never really understand why he didn't. Maybe he just figured I'd never come, you know, so he didn't even ask. But I couldn't get to church. I was over there at Fort Sam. I walked down Grayson Road and got down on Broadway and walked down Broadway until I hit Smith Chevrolet. And I walked into the office and I bought a truck. I just went out and bought one. I didn't really need one, you know, but I bought one so I could come to church. I was thirsty. I wanted to hear the Word of God. And I started hearing the preaching, and I started going out with these guys door knocking, and I started hearing some things, and we'd sit around in the afternoons in this place, and that was back then. Nobody went home, all their separate ways. We all kind of grabbed burgers, and we eventually ended up back here way before the meeting, you know, and we'd be sitting around talking and fellowshipping, and I wanted it. I was hungry. I could stay up half the night. Trini and Loopy tell about times they stay up to 2:00 in the morning with the Word of God. I was hungry. I was thirsty. And God says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God filled me so much in those days. He filled me so much to overflowing. I would do crazy stuff. I would do things like give up my career for God. I did. I said, man, I don't want this thing. I was on a fast track. I thought I was. Maybe I wasn't all that good as what I thought I was, but I had plans. I was going to be sergeant major, you know. I was going to be at the top enlisted man I could be. But, you know, I realized if I don't have Christ, none of that's any good anyway. I want to serve the Lord. I gave up a career for God. And I'm not sorry and pitiful and brokenhearted because of it either. I got something in return so glorious. Amen. Are you hungry for anything? Do you have any kind of spiritual desire within you? Sometimes what happens when we get to walking with God after a while, that hunger starts to fade away a little bit. The appetite. Oh, you still eat. You still eat things. But your appetite starts to change. And sometimes you can see it because a person will start getting a little more disinterested in the preaching of the Word of God. Start to fall back again and not take so much interest in meetings and in reading and in praying and in getting the Word of God out. And some of that interest will start to back off. And of course, we can find lots of reasons for it. The Word of God is full of different reasons for it. We can replace certain things and we can start feeding on things that really don't satisfy. I mean, come on, who's going to be hungry for a steak when they've been eating potato chips all day, you know? Yesterday we went fishing. And I took the boys out to Calaveras Lake, you know, and we were big-time fishermen. We were picking up them little 7-inch perch, you know, and we were keeping them, too. Guys were laughing at us. St. Matthew picked up one, and it was 7 inches long. He said, Dad, this is a keeper, you know. We throw it into the thing, you know. Get about 2 spoonfuls of meat out of each fish. But it was fun. And, you know, we got up early, we fished all day, we had a great time, and then on top of that, the game warden confiscated a bunch of catfish from somebody because they caught them with a cast net and he gave them to us, and so we were great. We came home with piggy perch and catfish, and it was great. And you know how it is when you're fishing. We took, you know, a bottle of water and some pretzels. That was our provisions for the whole day. And we were hungry. We got home, and of course, I cleaned the fish and everything, but it was Judy's job to cook it, but I cleaned it and got it all ready. And we're sitting there in the living room, and we're just waiting. Honey, Shanika, you ought to be cooking that fish now. We're hungry, you know. She had a good lunch. She didn't realize that we'd been all day without food. And I tell you what, about an hour before that fish was ready, we dived into the peanut butter and into the bread. We ate good peanut butter and bread. And so we were full. We had all this beautiful catfish, and we ate some of it, but we didn't eat as much as we want. You know, sometimes that happens to us spiritually. You wonder, why don't I have the desire to read the Word of God like I do? A lady, woman is sitting in her house, you know, and she's getting ready to pray and read the Word of God. And, of course, there's a stack of cosmopolitans and red books that high, you know. And I wonder why I don't love the Word of God like I used to. Well, I wonder why. I talked to a teenager one time. Her face was in them Harlequin romances, man. As soon as she'd finish one, she'd start up another. It's no wonder you didn't have any desire for the Word of God. Look what your nose is into. Look what you've been eating. We had beautiful catfish and piggy perch on the plate, but our stomachs were full of peanut butter and bread, you know? I'm telling you, because of your appetites can start to change. And you can structure your life in such a way that you put God right out of it because of your desires and because of your hungers. I want you to look at a verse. Look at Psalm, the book of Psalms, chapter, I believe it's 106. Psalm 106. Well, I got the right chapter. Let's see if I can get the right verse now. Bear with me. In Psalm 106. You there yet? Okay, read it while I'm looking for that, okay? Look at verse 15. Back up in verse 13. This is when the children of Israel are in the wilderness. It says, they soon forgat his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. You know, this verse has always meant a lot to me. This is the children of Israel, and they're in the wilderness. If you don't understand what God did to the children of Israel, when they walked out into that desert, God gave them water out of a rock, and God gave them manna from heaven to eat. Now, you get in a situation and you don't think God can take care of you. You're crazy, man. Look what he did with the children of Israel. They were out there in a desert, and they had their food from heaven raining on them every day. They didn't have refrigerator. They didn't need them, because the next day, the manna would come down again. And they could beat those little seeds down, and they could make bread that tasted just like honey, and it just melted in their mouth for sweetness. And their shoes didn't wear out. And they had water to drink. I mean, they had the best of everything, even though they were in a wilderness. How or why? Only the spirit of man, I guess, could really explain it or understand it. Why all of a sudden that wasn't good enough anymore? All of a sudden what they were rejoicing in, the tremendous miracle, it just wasn't good enough anymore. And they begin lusting exceedingly. And soon the physical desires begin to override the spiritual desires. And what they did is they saw these little quail and they said, Lord, we want quail. We want meat to eat. We're tired of this manna. How does it say it? We, in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, it says we, I'm not even going to try to say the first because I forgot it already. Our soul, there it is, our soul loatheth this light bread. It got to the point where they actually despised what God had provided for them. See, you got to watch what you feed. We're laid back around here, but that doesn't mean that we agree with feeding the flesh and allowing our desires to run free. That's not the case at all. You've got to watch what you eat. You've got to watch spiritually what you feed upon. Yeah, God did give them their request. Pray for me. My tongue's not working right today. God did give them their request, but he sent leanness to their soul. You see, there's some things you can ask God for, and God will finally just give them to you. He'll just give them, or you'll just go around God and get them anyway. But they're not going to be good for you.
You see, God knew what was good for these children right here, and God knows what's good for that. And Jesus in the New Testament, he says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I know that if I just allow my lust to go free, my desires to go free, I'm going to be able to fill my soul with all kinds of stuff. But look at what it causes in the end. You know why this causes me such great concern? Is because I see veteran Christians that have walked with God for years, say no to God, say yes to the flesh, give in to their worldly, their lustful, their fleshly appetites, and all of a sudden, leanness to their soul. I heard a case over a radio guy. He has a program on the radio, and one of his right-hand men went off into adultery this last week. Now, somebody that, you know, we listen to all the time, and we listen to their programs and everything, and you know, it just really hurt. I said, how can that happen to someone who's walked with God for years? You know what the warning is? Is that's no insulation for you. Solomon, one of the wisest men, the Bible says, he had wisdom. God gave him wisdom, and then God gave him his riches too. God gave him everything his heart could desire. At the end of his life, was he applying his own proverbs? No, he had all these strange women. He was building gods to them, and he was worshiping other things, and his heart left God and went after other things. Your heart could do the same thing. That's why God says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you think someone is going to want to get close to God and God's going to say no? Or someone is going to want to be right and want to be holy and want to please God and God is going to deny them that request? He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. That's not only for a lost man, that's for the Christian too. I've got a question for you today. How's your appetite? How's your appetite for spiritual things? Is there any hunger at all to find out things of the Lord anymore? Is there any spiritual thirst? Is there any desire? You know, I want to ask myself that same question. I'm not looking at you and being sanctimonious or holier than thou by any means. The fact that a veteran Christian could fall fills me with fear. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to be left by the wayside. But you know what I know? I know that I have a lot of appetites and a lot of desires that do not need to be fed. There's wives that take off and leave their husbands because their noses were in that harlequin book. They look at that fantastic bronze lover in that book, you know, and then they put the book down, look at their pear-shaped husband, you know. And they say, oh, Lord. And they get right back into that book right there. No, it happens. Happens with men too. They look at that airbrush stuff in that pornography magazine and then they look at their wife and they say, man, something doesn't match up here. And they go off searching for a dream. You know, we ought to realize by now, we ought to realize the devil will give all his promises up front and he'll leave you empty in the end every time. Men have destroyed their lives searching after things that don't exist. A fantasy, an idea. Some guys think that, man, I'm just so wound up. I'm so keyed up all the time. All I just need a couple of beers to get me calmed down and I'm okay and I'm fine. You have no idea what you're messing with. You are feeding desires that cannot be satisfied. The flesh will never be satisfied. The desires of the eyes will never be full. Enlarged herself to greet anybody that's willing to drop off in her. Let me tell you something. Your flesh is a danger zone. You're not free to read anything you want to read. You're not free to go see any movie that you want to go see. You're not free to do it. And it's up to you whether or not you have a TV in your house. That's fine. But you're not free to click that channel anywhere you decide you want to click it. You say, well, it's my house, it's my TV. Yeah, you're right, but it's God's mind. You see, did you forget that you were bought with a price? That you're supposed to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are not yours, they're God's? Whenever my appetite for spiritual things starts going down, it's a wake-up call. What's wrong? What's the matter? What's wrong? And usually, I can trace it to an appetite somewhere. Look over in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2 and in verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Do you see the comparison here? Here's God, the fountain of living waters. Besides, He's a fountain. It just keeps coming up. It doesn't run dry. They replaced it for a cistern. Something that holds a limited amount of water and run dries at a specific period of time. And not only that, but a broken cistern that can't even hold water. I get resented sometimes when I go by and visit people that have stopped thirsting and hungering after righteousness and have gone off into the world, and yet they resent me. And when I'm just trying to show them, look, what you've got now is not as good as what you've had. Any step away from God is always a step down. Amen. Always. It's never, never a step up. Never a benefit to you. Never. But they made a trade. When it comes to spiritual thirst and spiritual desire, there's no end of what Jesus can do for you. He's the fountain of living waters. You need peace for your soul, He can give you peace for your soul. You're having a hard trial and you need a little bit of grace. You don't need beer, you need grace. And He can give you that. You see, His supply meets every need that you could possibly have. Now we understand, we look through the scriptures, that God by in no way, He does not insulate us from all of the calamities and all the tragedies in life. You guys know that by now. That we run into troubles of every conceivable kind and style, and God doesn't insulate us from those, but He does help us get through them. There's nothing that can take the place of my Lord Jesus. There's nothing that can take the place of my living for Him. Look back over there in the text. He says something here in Matthew. He says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, I could rant and rave all day long about people who have no desire for God. Don't desire the things of God. Don't desire to obey God. But you know, I want fixes too. I want solutions. When I find myself in a problem, I want to be able to know how to get out of it, you know? Okay, fine. So I'm not right with God right now. So I'm in a place that's not so desirable. Or so I see some warning signs come up. What do I do? I thank God that He gives us some instructions. Look at Psalm 46. Here are some things that have blessed me. These are a couple of things that you could use. Because one thing's for sure, if you don't have an appetite for God, don't sit around waiting for yourself to get hungry for God. Kindle an appetite. Man, I tell you what, we can kindle up an appetite and a desire for God. We can do those things. There are some ways to do it. Psalm 42 and verse 1. It says, the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And the rest of the verse, the rest of the chapter, I mean, it's almost depressing to read it because he's in real dire straits here. He's been chased out of his kingdom. He's on the run right now. He's lost quite a bit. He's lost a lot of respect. He's lost some sons. And yet, in this great position of affliction and calamity, he does the right thing. He says, my soul thirsteth after the living God. I want you to realize something. After everything else is gone, you still have God. After every other option, every other avenue, everything else is closed down, we still have God. And by the way, that's the only real reality. Everything that you think is so important right now will pale in calamity like this. All of a sudden, a lot of things that David used to think were important, his singers over there in the palace and the good life that he lived, all of a sudden those weren't the things that he desired. Those weren't the things that he was wanting. All of a sudden now, it was God. And that's what happens a lot of time in afflictions. It's not the good things that we remember. I think back in my life, and some of the blessed, most blessed times I can think of that I look back with comfort are the times when I knew that God was near. I can't replace those times. Those times I can't replace with anything. They have been some of the darkest days as far as physical things were concerned. But as far as my memory, I look back at them and I can actually smile because I said, yes, God was near us. God was walking with us. Hey, this ought to be a lesson to us. In the calamities of life, nothing else will satisfy except for God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He says, I thirsted after God, after the living God. And you look at some of the other psalms that he's written, and he got it. What he prayed for right here, he got. He found God, and God even calls it. Man, it's just a wonderful thing if you look at the way that David walked with God. How about taking the darkness and turning it towards God? Affliction and effort can produce an appetite for God. You know, another thing is if you get busy and start working for God, you might actually start hungering for the things of God. Nobody gets a burden for souls sitting down on their couch watching sitcoms all day. It doesn't produce a burden for souls. Well, you might be able to justify it and say, oh, I just feel so sorry for those people on the screen, how lost they are. Yeah, that might last for a day or so, but you keep watching for those things. They don't produce a burden for soul. But I tell you what, you want to begin to hunger and thirst after the power of God? Go try to win somebody to Christ. Oh, I know the books make it look real easy. Let's go soul winning, you know, and they just make it so easy, and you can go out and win 140 people a night to the Lord. No way, man, it doesn't happen. Well, it happened in the book of Acts, so I can't say it doesn't happen. It does happen, okay? But it never happened to me. At least not door knocking or street preaching or anything like that. Do you know what I know? Is that souls aren't naturally looking for God. There's opposition whenever I go soul winning. And so I begin to get a burden for souls when I actually get off of my duff and get on my feet and try to win somebody to God. Then all of a sudden my desires start to change. Things of the world are not going to help me to win this soul to Christ. All of a sudden, all my pop psychology books are not going to help me to win this soul right here to Christ. All of my love of pleasure, all of a sudden, there's something that I need God for. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Some things that can only be filled by God. Hey, do you know that you can cultivate a taste for just about anything? I wonder why it is that only the Polish people grow up with a taste for kapusta and borscht. You ever wonder that? And why all the people that live in Mexico grow up with a taste for real hot, hot things? Do you think it's genetic? They acquire the taste for it. You know, I remember when I took my first bowl of borscht, big round, I hated that stuff. I was a little kid, I just hated it. But I grew to love it because that's what we ate to eat all the time. Sometimes you look at the things of God and you say, well, they just don't taste as good. Church is not as exciting as the world. You know, the world tastes better. But do you know that you can cultivate a taste for things that are good? You don't have to go blindly by your own taste buds and say, oh, I hate that stuff. I'm not going to try it. I hate preaching. I hate the Word of God. It never done any good before. It's always tasted bad before when I read it. Well, you ought to try it again and you ought to cultivate a taste for it because you're going to find out. That's why the invitation is taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
Don't give me the excuse because you can cultivate a taste for just about anything. You sure have for sin. How many people love beer the first time they ever drank it? Probably not. First cigarette you ever smoked, you coughed and you choked and everything like that. But you did it again. Isn't that what Proverbs says? It says, the guy's on bedspins, man. He thinks he's in the middle of the ocean. And he wakes up in the morning. He's got wounds without cause. Somebody hit him and he doesn't remember who. He doesn't remember where he was or what he did. But after the redness in his eyes starts to subside, he says, yet will I seek it again, you know? And he begins to cultivate a taste for sin. Listen, our desires ought to be towards the Lord. So just because you're sitting there this morning saying, well, I have no real interest in the things of God. I mean, my interest over the Word of God is kind of lost. My interest over preaching, you know, I don't have a desire for it. There's not a real hunger for it. Cultivate the taste again. You can do it. If you can do it for anything else, you can do it for God. Why do you think they send rice to Somalia instead of Milky Way bars? Because the thing that they need over in Somalia is good, solid food. What have you been eating? What has your diet been like? Have you been fed with a diet of anger and bitterness and lust and resentment? Well, of course, the fruit of those things is going to be sickness, and you're going to be anemic, and you're going to be skinny, and you're not going to have any desire for the things of God. There was a guy, and he decided he was going to go and look for all that the world had to offer. And he had the opportunity to do it because his father was rich, and his father was willing to give him half of everything he owned right there on the spot. And he took it, and he went away into a far country, not a near country, didn't want Dad to know what he was doing. He went into a far country, and there he began to waste his living. If he wanted a woman, he'd buy her. If he wanted drink, if he wanted a party, he'd hire all the people together, and he'd do it. Can you imagine? There was nothing, no pleasure was withheld from him. Nothing that he desired was withheld. And he just lived high on the hog and had a great time. But there came a point in time where he was all the way down in the place where the pigs eat. I don't even remember what it's called. The place where the pigs eat. And he looked at what them pigs were eating and he says, man, that looks good. He was hungry. Now, why isn't it that all those things that he had wasn't satisfying him now? Why is it that all of the prostitutes, all of the ladies, all of the music, all of the dancing, all of the party, and all of the high living, that none of that was helping him right now? You see, the promises of the devil had left him empty. He did the wisest thing anybody could ever do. He said, I will go to my father. In my father's house there is plenty. And what I like most about that story is when he went to his father's house, he got a grand reunion. He didn't make up for all the stuff that he lost, but he was received back and he was welcomed by the father, just like any Christian at any point in his life decides to repent and turn, he's accepted again of the father. I mean, haven't we seen that in congregation? People that have been just destroyed over sin and yet repented of their sins, and look at how God just blesses and helps you to recover. But here's the thought I have in closing. Why would you and I have to let it get that far? Why would you and I have to let our lives get that far to where we've got no place to look but up? Maybe you've got some warning signs now. Maybe there's some gnawings. Maybe there's some desires that are beginning to replace your desires for God. One thing I know about sin, you get it while it's small, you're successful in getting it out. You wait till it's big, and it tears up a lot of things. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. How's your spiritual appetite today? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that if there's a soul in this room today, maybe is even just now starting to lose interest and a desire for you, maybe a desire for the things of the world are beginning to grow and grow, and a desire for your word is beginning to get less and less, I pray,
Oh, that you'd reach down, that you'd help them. I pray with each and every one of us here in this room, Lord, that if our hunger and our thirst after good, righteous, spiritual things are beginning to lag, Lord, that you would bless us with a refreshing, Lord, that you would renew in us a hunger and a thirst and desire for those things that are good. Save us, Lord, from just living out our lives in a mediocre way and help us to be everything that we can be for you. Lord, I pray for any soul in this room that's lost. Lord, that today you would kindle in their heart a desire for salvation and they'd see the hollowness of all the promises and things of this world and today they'd call upon your name before it's too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
God has touched your heart during this invitation. This altar's open and you're welcome to come down and talk to the Lord and get things right. Pray for somebody. As the organ continues to play, just have every head bowed and every eye closed. I won't take long with this invitation. But I'd hate to close it down without giving a final invitation to someone who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own Savior. You see, God so loved the world, the Bible says that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, today, if you realize, you look deep within your life and you find out that you're empty and everything you've done is in vain and there's no real lasting influence to it, I'm telling you, you look down inside that hole in your soul, it's a hole that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. You see, He died for your sins. He loves you more than anybody could possibly love you. And He shed His blood so that you could have eternal life. But you know, the choice is up to you. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's my prayer today that if you don't know Jesus Christ, that you would call upon Him and ask Him to save you. His promise is that He would do it if you ask. We'll sing one more stanza, number 249. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much for this day. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray as we each go our separate ways, that You would just bless us, keep us safe, Lord, and bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.